Now today, let's keep rolling with Slow Church. We've come to the end of our journey, actually. This is week 11. I feel like we were just starting this so many weeks ago, and here we are at the end of another journey, the end of our journey through Slow Church. What does it mean to be a church that moves not at breakneck speed, but moves a little slower? How do we live lives of slowness and intentionality? So we've been talking about all these different ideas over the past 10, 11 weeks, and then what does it mean for us as a church? Today, I want to talk about the final topic and kind of bring everything all together. And maybe you noticed we are going to celebrate communion together, which we haven't done in, how long has it been? Has it been over a year? Easily. So it's been a while, so I am excited. And I went out, I bought bread. I was like, ooh, I haven't done this in a while. So I am thrilled to be ending, which is that not the best way to end a series? Talking about the church, well, what's at the center of the church? It's Christ. It's why we're here. And so let's celebrate and partake of this ancient ritual, this ritual that followers of Jesus have been doing for 2,000 years together here this morning. So before we get there, let's talk a bit about dinner table conversations, which I think it's totally apropos that we're going to be celebrating or partaking at a table this morning. Dinner table conversations. And I want to talk about one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And I've talked about this one before, probably more so early on in the beginning of the life of Awaken, because when I stumbled upon this, it was mind-blowing, and I wanted everyone to know. So I probably talked about it every other week. And it's, like I said, one of my favorite stories. And it's the story of Jacob when he's wrestling with God. It takes place in Genesis early on in the Bible. Genesis chapter, 32, beginning in verse 22. So that night, Jacob got up, he took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all of his possessions. Obviously, lots to unpack up there. We're just going to just skim through that and just assume he took his one wife and his kids and their possessions. We can unpack that at another time. So Jacob was left alone. Everything was sent on ahead, and Jacob, here he is, all by himself. And it's nightfall. And then a man, a little UFC, a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Here's Jacob all by himself, all night long, he's wrestling with this man. Oh, wait, sorry. We still have a little bit more there. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, because Jacob is like the Hulk, like Hulk Hogan or whoever your superhero, your favorite WWF star is, like Jacob could not be overpowered. And the man saw this. And so he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. He threw his hip out. He was starting to play dirty. He's like, ooh, this guy's not going down. Let's see what I can do. And so the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. And Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I want a blessing, and I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. Give me the thing that I desire. I'm about to go on this journey. I don't know what's going to happen. I want your blessing before I proceed, before I take the next step. And so the man asked him, well, what's your name? And Jacob answered. He said, well, my name is Jacob, which means deceiver, trickster. And so the man said, well, your name will no longer be Jacob, but your name will be Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans, and you have overcome. It's the beginning of the Israelite people. Jacob, this deceiver, this trickster, he's now being given a new name. And in the ancient world, names were everything. They were your identity. You wanted to know someone's name, because if you knew what someone's name was, well, you knew a little bit about their identity. And if you know about Jacob, you know, the stories before this point, he was a deceiver. He was a trickster. And now this man that he was wrestling is like, you're no longer going to be known by that identity. You're now going to be known by something entirely different. You will now be known as Israel. And as we know, Israel then becomes the people of God. And what does Israel mean? One who wrestles with God. God's people are being named people who wrestle with God. Now, this has major, like when I first stumbled upon this, when I heard this, I was like, ooh, this is really interesting. Because for me, faith was something that was pretty black and white. Well, it's this or it's that, and you better just be silent and listen. God's in charge. Don't ask questions. Don't, you know, question things. Don't wrestle with God. Don't, you know, here's your faith, and everything is supposed to stay the way that it is. It's never supposed to change. You're never supposed to evolve or move forward in your faith. But now, Israel, the people of God, they are known as the people who continually wrestle with God, people who ask questions, the people who one day they believe this, and then something happens, and they start to question things. They start to petition God, ask God, wrestle with God about why are things this way? God, can you change? I mean, when you think about prayer, what are we doing when we pray? We're asking God to what? To change things. And God is inviting this posture. God's not saying, hey, I want you just to simply be a servant, to be a slave, to be people who just close your mouth and then just listen and follow. But rather, God wants this conversation. God wants this relationship. He doesn't want us just to be these robots who just don't question anything and just follow right along, but rather people who think and ask questions and pray and petition and wrestle with all the different things that come up in life. And if you know anything about life, there's one thing that I'm sure we can all agree on, it's that life is unpredictable. And things happen, and we wonder why they happen, and we get upset. Life doesn't go the way we want it to go, and we question, we ask, we wonder, well, why is this? And rather than just saying, well, God's in control, and that's a way in which sometimes faith is perceived, but rather than just God's in control and I'm just going to keep moving on, rather God wants us to engage so that we can enter into a deeper level of our faith. So we come to dinner table conversations, and we come to slow church, and here's the reason why I think this is so important for us when we talk about a slow church or the type of church that we want to become, the type of faith that we want to produce within all those who come to awaken. Because faith is to be an ongoing conversation. Faith is to be this ongoing dialogue amongst us. That's why we gather together. Church is it's people coming together. Church, as much as we tried to do it by ourselves during the pandemic, in our pajamas with our coffee in bed, it just didn't feel right. There was something missing. Church can't happen. You can't do church by yourself. It doesn't happen alone. Rather, it happens in a community of people. People coming together, people who are having a conversation. That's why we do community group as well. We throw questions out and then we talk about it, and you hear insights from other people. That's why we did a bit of a Q&A at the end of every single session here over the past 10 weeks together. Because it's not about what one person has to say. It's not about what your opinion is. Well, it is about your opinion, but it's about all of our opinions. It's about all of us coming together. And you hear someone say something, or someone picks up, for instance, over the past couple of weeks, you pick up a quote or an idea and you throw it out there and you're like, huh, I didn't sit with it long enough, but you apparently did. And now that's making me rethink a couple of things. So when we talk about dinner table conversations, that's where faith happens. Or that's where faith continues to grow and develop. It can happen here on a Sunday morning, but for most of the time, we're just sitting here. We're listening. And that's good. We all need input. But then we need a chance for us to now talk about the things that we're inputting, the things that we're hearing about, the things that we're being confronted with, the things that we're being challenged by. And then we need other people. We need a safe place. That's why Awaken, we always say Awaken is a safe place where every single person belongs, wherever you find yourself on the faith journey. Because the truth is, we all find ourselves at different points in the journey. And one year you're here, and then you're somewhere else because things happen in life, and you need that safe place where you can come, you can bring your questions or your concerns or the things that you're just, why is it like this? I need someone else. And hopefully we have people here in this community who, well, you know what? I went through something similar. Let me sit with you. Let me not necessarily give you an answer, because that's not always the most helpful thing when someone just provides an answer, because the way you really learn is when you go through it yourself, but rather people who are willing to sit with you through whatever you're experiencing in life. And not just throwing out, well, here's the way, or God's in control, and just, but rather, let me sit with you as you wrestle with God on this one. Israel, one who wrestles with God. Maybe that should be our identity as a church. What's your vision? Well, we're people who wrestle with God. We ask questions. We challenge things. we read the scriptures to see what it has to say for us today. And we don't just read it at a level where we try to memorize things. Rather, we read it in a way where we want to unpack it and understand, okay, well, this is what it meant back then, but then what does it mean for me? How do we bring it into the 21st century? That's why I've always been, every sermon always has to be great. Here's what it meant for the ancient people, but now what does it mean for us today? And how can we carry it forward? It's like improv, which showed up early on in slow church. Yes, and. Here's what it was, but now let's not end the conversation, but let's just keep the conversation going. If there's anything I've learned about faith, it's that it's always evolving. You hear about people who say, well, they flip-flopped. Why is flip-flopping such a bad thing? Maybe 5 years ago you believed in this, you know, in politics it's about policies, but maybe we bring it into the faith world. You believed one thing, but now things aren't as black and white as they were before. And they're a little gray. And that's quite all right, because that's how faith works. For Jacob, things were a certain way, and then now things were beginning to change a little bit. And if you read story after story in the Bible, you see people who were adamant. I mean, think about Paul. Think about the missionary Paul. He was adamant about his faith and his beliefs. And then God came, the Spirit came, and radically, he had one of these radical experiences where things changed. But what I've seen is that maybe not quite as radical as Paul, but things, they change and they evolve and they grow. And the things that we held strong to 5, 10, 15 years ago, well, now they're a little bit weaker. And that's okay, because God's carrying us through all of it. It's in the wrestle. It's in the pursuit where God is found. God's not found in the, I have it all figured out, great, now I can go on and live my life and everything is okay. But rather, God is found in the continual pursuit, that constant wrestle. And as I said, that's why we do what we do here at Awaken, because we need those conversation partners, that safe place where you don't feel judged. And you don't feel like someone's looking at you funny if you ask that question or if you say that thing. And the truth about Awaken, which I love, is that we all have such diverse backgrounds. And we're all at different places with so many different topics in the world right now. I mean, the world is so divided. And what it feels like is that the forces or the powers at play are trying to divide us more and more. So there's this group, and then there's this group, but there's no middle. What's really interesting to me is, well, how do we find the middle ground? Or how do we find this group and bring them together and have a civil conversation? Well, right here, it's the bread and the wine. That's why for church, this is the center of it. We can be here and we can be here, but we can still come together in love and grace, because it's grace that covers over all of it. And grace is at the center. It's the cornerstone of all we do here. So let's do a slow church recap as we end this thing, as we bring this train into the station. So we began 10 weeks ago by talking about our place, terroir. And we said that our place, if we want to discover what does it mean for us to be a church here in Westchester County, we have to figure out, well, what are the unique needs in our area? What are the challenges? What are the concerns? Because I guarantee you, the needs and the concerns, the challenges, that's where God is working in Westchester County. And so it starts by slowing down and being aware of all that's happening around us. A couple of questions. So what is God specifically doing here in this place, in Westchester? And then where are you being invited to go? How are you being invited to partner with all that God's already doing? So becoming aware of our neighbors, our coworkers, family, friends, the people that we rub shoulders with on a weekly basis. So it's having our eyes opened to what's already happening here. And as we do that, as we become aware of our place, it moves us into a place of, hit the slide, stability, putting down roots. Having a growing love for our area. Wow, there's a lot going on here. God's at work. There's people here that are in need. And it gives us this sense that I want to put down roots. I want to be stable. I want to invest my life here, because this is the place. This is the terroir that I love and that I am being called to share love and grace with. But we learn that stability, it doesn't come easily. Having the awareness, slowing down, doesn't come easily. It takes a lot of patience because nothing is overnight. When we talk about being a slow church, man, it takes a lot of patience. One of the words we talked about a couple weeks back was long-suffering, being with others around us, not being that microwave people where we want things instantaneously. You put in the microwave and 30 seconds later, you have a meal. Rather, things that take a long time to cook, to marinate. Now, patience, it stands against our performance, or our culture of perfectionism. Because when it's all about performance, well, you need results immediately. And if you don't get those results, well, then we're on to the next thing. But patience requires showing up day after day after day, doing the little things and feeling like you're barely moving the dial, but saying, I'm here. This is my place. These are my people. I'm going to put down roots, and I'm going to be patient and trust that God is at work. Even if I can't see huge results, I'm going to trust that God is at work here through my showing up day after day after day. And then patience, it moves us into wholeness. Because we said that what we come to realize is that the thing that God is after the most, God's not after creating a nice, tidy church here on a Sunday morning where we come, we sing some songs, we hear a sermon, and then we go on with our lives. But rather, God is about inviting us into his work of making things whole. Shalom. Putting things back in their rightful place. And God is about inviting us into that process. So wholeness, the thing that God desires, the Genesis 1 picture that we're painted all the way back in the beginning and what we see come to completion all the way at the end of the Bible in Revelation 21, well, it requires us to do our work. To do the thing that we were created to do. We all have unique talents and passions and gifts. And so working with God to create wholeness, to move the world into a more just society requires that we discover our gifts and then we unleash those gifts to the rest of the world. We discover what our unique expression of humanity is, and then we give that gift to the world around us. Back in Genesis 1, humans, we were meant to care for and to protect this creation. So it requires us to get our hands dirty, to not sit on the couch but say, ooh, this is what I've been given, this is my place, so here's how I can now partner with God to bring justice and wholeness and shalom to the world. But we also said that it's not all about work. It's not all just about going and going, but it's also about Sabbath. It's about approaching the world from a place of rest. And having this 6-in-1 rhythm, 6 days of work, of giving, of pouring ourselves out, but then spending a day of being refilled, of having all that we've given out now being poured back into us. So it's about finding a rhythm of rest, which is exactly what God did right in the beginning. Work, 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 create, make, and then sit back and enjoy. So then the next day we can go and we can begin our work again. Now, after Sabbath, that leads us into abundance. And we come to realize that as we rest, instead of just going and trying to grab as much as we possibly can, we come to discover that this is not a world of scarcity, but rather, this is a world of enough. There's enough for everyone. There's enough to go around, and we don't need to live running after that last pizza pie because there's going to be more. And so when we rest, we trust that there will be enough, that God has provided enough. And we say, for a day, I don't need to go and accumulate anything. I can simply open my hands and let things continue. And we can trust grace. See, what happens is when we live in a world of scarcity, oftentimes we have this mentality of, well, I deserve this. And that then, when we live this way, we now try to grab as much as we possibly can. So for a day, we rest, and we come to realize, ooh, I still have enough. I'm still able to feed myself, my family. And hopefully as we do so, we can then provide that same belief, that same level of trust for those around the world who haven't been given the basic necessities that they need. And so when we come from a place of abundance, it leads us into a place of gratitude. We become thankful for all that we've received, and we're consciously aware of all that we've been given, and we can be thankful for it, and we can now begin to give it away. So a world of abundance leads us into a place of gratitude and being thankful for all the things that we have been given in life. And that's going to take us to our final topic of Slow Church that we talked about last week, which was hospitality. As we're grateful, as we live with open hands, trusting that there is enough for us and that there is enough to go around, it brings us to a place of then creating space for others, of being able to provide for others that same grace that's been given to us. It brings us to a place of seeing Jesus in every person, not seeing others as an enemy or as someone who's out to get us, someone who's against us, but rather seeing us all together. There's one humanity, and that we can find the image of Christ in every single person. So as we live with those open hands, we're then moving at a slower pace, and we're able to discover that Christ is all around us. And what we are being invited to do, the way in which we're being invited to live, is to treat everyone as if they were Jesus, to create space, love, grace, forgiveness, hospitality for every single person, which brings us to the table, which brings us to Eucharist, the good gift of Jesus. The good gift of Jesus that isn't for just us here, but rather it's for all people. And as followers of Jesus, our task, the thing that we are called to do, is invite others to the table, to invite others to experience that same grace, that same good gift that we ourselves have experienced. So as we close our series on Slow Church, I want to center us on the table, on remembering what it's all about and why we gather. And it's been a really long time since we've done this. But this is a ritual that is meant to ground us, where we can take everything that divides us and we can push it to the side and we can say, well, that's okay. Let's all come together because we're all together in need of grace. We're all in need of a salvation, a saving that comes beyond what we ourselves can manufacture. So what we'll do here is we'll play a song. Feel free to just listen to the song. We have a table up here. You can form a line if you want. You can come up however you want to come up. If you want to wait till other people have gone through and then you want to come forward, that's fine as well. We have individual cups. You can grab a piece of bread, and then you can come forward, take a cup, take a piece of bread. You can bring it back to your seat, and when you're ready, you can partake of the elements and remember the death of Jesus, the blood of Jesus that was poured out for your salvation, for your healing. That at this table, there is grace that covers over any sin, any sense of shame, and it brings a healing. It brings a grace that establishes within us new life. Let me pray for us, and then feel free to come forward. God, we come to you today, and God, I thank you that we can celebrate this ancient ritual. God, this practice that Christians, followers of Jesus, have been participating in for thousands of years. God, this is something that we have been called to do in remembrance of you, of your death on a cross that brings new life, wholeness to this world and to our lives. So God, I pray as we come forward today, as we take of the cup and the bread, God, I pray that we would be reminded of your great love for us. God, your forgiveness. God, I pray that there would be a sense of healing. God, if there's any shame that we're carrying with us, God, I just ask that you would cover over that. God, that you would bring healing to those areas in our lives where we need it. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.